just heard him outline the perils for local journalists. One such is May Azanga. Working as one of the few female reporters in her country, Azanga reported on a practice that is both deeply entrenched and highly taboo in Liberia, female genital cutting.
The Women's Secret Society is called the Sandy Society, S-A-N-D-E. And the Male Secret Society is called the Poro, P-O-R-O, Poro Society. They will take the young people and train them to be proper men and women. But the prerequisite for the female, you will have to be circumcised to graduate. In the interior, the people there are pressured to send their children to these schools because if they don't, you will be ostracized. You will be treated as an outcast. They call you sinner.
How much reporting has there been on female genital cutting?
For foreign journalists, okay. But for me, who's a Liberian and know the practice and know the culture, it's a taboo.
So what happened?
When I wrote this story, everybody was angry because they felt that I let out a secret I shouldn't have done. I tried to talk to several women who shy away. Oh, no, I don't. I can't talk about the people thing. Oh, it's too big for my mouth. And this lady I talked with, she agreed to talk with me, but we had to go in a secret room. Even as we were there, she was scared. She was looking everywhere. Because the secret of this is you have to make an oath or swear an oath not to tell. And they will always make an oath the day I tell I should die. So while they were hunting me, probably they wanted my souls.
They wanted your source. Mohamed Keita told us that there were death threats against you and your 9-year-old daughter.
They sent a lot of death threats to my editor, to my news office, Front Page Africa, and they said, for putting my mouth in their business, I'm going to pay dearly for it. My editor even called me because I was in a rural village, and she said, the people are waiting. The people said they will catch you and carry you to the sand and have you cut. Then they will keep your mouth shut. You won't say anything. That's their belief. If they cut you, you swear an oath. You won't be able to tell. So they wanted to keep my mouth shut. They went to my house looking for my 9-year-old daughter. These women, I don't know them. And the lady who takes care of my daughter had to run into a neighbor's house and hide my daughter. And she called me that day. I can remember it was March on the 14th. And I told the nanny to send her to a distant relative out of Monrovia because I was afraid. Because the traditional people believe if they can't get you, they will get someone closer to you.
What was the government's response when you reached out to it for protection?
The government never gave me security. I was in hiding for over 3 weeks.
You didn't have a great relationship with the police to begin with, did you?
No, I didn't, because I had been hard on them. We did a story on police brutality. This woman's daughter was raped, and when she went to report the case, the police beat her and threw her in jail. And her 12-year-old daughter still lay at the house. She did not go to a hospital, because the mother was thrown in jail. She was there for 3 days. Her daughter was not treated as a result. And then they told her, who know you? Nobody know you. I told her, did they tell you that? She said, yeah. I said, somebody will know you. When we finish reporting this story, somebody's going to know you. And we did that story. The police didn't like it because they were implicated.
Were you helped by the international community?
Oh, yeah. A lot of pressure from the international community, I would say.
Who?
CPJ.
The Committee to Protect Journalists.
Yes. Amnesty International. Columbia University students came out. CUNY University students came out to tell the president that they should provide security protection for me. That put pressure on the government to say the Sandy Society that is responsible for circumcision of the women should be suspended for time indefinite.
Do you believe the government will take concrete steps to stop female genital mutilation? Do you think you've changed anything?
Yeah. For the government to come up and say that, it had not been done in the past. So it was a milestone. But they still need to. It needs education, awareness. So the general minister said it will go into the villages and educate these people to stop it.
Why did you take on this story, May?
They were violating the little children's right. They said the school, the bush school, as they call it, the sandy bush, was to make women ready to get married. Teach them how to take care of their husband. But can a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 5-year-old child run a home after you cut her? No. So you are violating our child's right. You, as a parent, you sent her there. But you don't know the future implication. A lot of women are traumatized because of that. Because the lady I talked with, she said they pinned her down. There were four women who pinned her down. And the fifth woman was over her and cut her. No sort of anesthesia they gave you. She said raw pain, she described it. She said the pain so severe. And they don't give you pills, she said. They just mashed the leaf and put it to the affected area. Medically, the doctor told me it was dangerous because when women go to give birth, they have massive tear and other things, and some of them even die.
You reported on child rape and forced the president to intervene in a case of police brutality against the mother of a rape victim. You were the first reporter to interview Liberian mercenaries who admitted to murdering civilians in the Ivory Coast during the 2010 election. In 2007, you spoke out against the sexual harassment of female reporters, for which you got a lot of criticism. Last year, you won a Pulitzer Center grant to cover reproductive health in Liberia. You're a journalist on a crusade, aren't you?
Yes, I will say that.
Mm-hmm. What's your background? You were forced into exile during the war.
Mm-hmm. I stayed in Liberia throughout the war. And then 1996, when Charles Taylor and Roosevelt Johnson, another rebel group, it was Friday the 13th when they dragged my father, who used to be Associate Justice, from the dining room table. I will never forget.
Tell me about your father.
My father used to be Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. And when the war came, the rebels were looking for people working in the government. They looted everything from my house and took my father away. From that day, that moment, our life changed. He was jailed, he was beaten, he was brutalized. When he came to America, he died. He suffered brain cancer because they used a gun to beat his head.
What's your ultimate goal?
To help as many people as possible. That is why I didn't go into politics. I have to talk with the ordinary people. I have to walk by them every day. And they too have stories. If I don't tell their story, who will listen to them? Who will hear their voices? I'm a reporter with all bold. I go everywhere to report. I report for a change. I feel the injustices in my country too much. And nobody willing to talk about it because other journalists are bought. And nobody, I can boast now, nobody in my country willing to give me bribe because they are afraid of me as Zango. That name sounds like a chewing gum. Everybody knows me. Even if you haven't seen me, that name scares people. So nobody will come up with a purse and say, May, I want you to kill this story. Because when I go after a story, my uncle always said, when May Azango come after you, you better run. Oh, yeah.
May Azango.
Yeah, that name. Whew, I can tell you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, too.
May Azango reports on human rights for New Narratives and Front Page Africa.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sarah Abdurkhman, and Chris Neary, with more help from Louisa Beck and Rob Schoon, and edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Andrew Dunn.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.